Turn your Bibles a little to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, in part of this chapter, our Lord has given this about the parable about the types of ground. We want to note here in verse number 23 what our Lord says as he's explaining it to the disciples, to us. In verse number 23, but he that received into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The seed has been sown. There's this good ground that has been prepared, and they hear the word, they understand it, and they bear fruit. In Mark chapter 4, we have the same occasion, our Lord telling this parable. Again, a parable is the Lord using something earthly of our lives that we understand and know about, and to help us to understand a spiritual truth. In verse 20 of Mark chapter 4, same occasion, same parable. And these are they which are sown on good ground. And so there's some we're going to see just a things that may be worded a little bit differently or in addition to as we look at these. And these are they which are sown on good ground, prepared ground, such as hear the word and receive it. You hear that? They hear the word and they receive the word. They take it to them. In Matthew, he said, understand it. He hears the word and understands it. Here, the word is receive it. And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And so there's a receiving of the word, a believing it, a taking it to heart and to life. And there is a yield. There's a yield that comes forth. In Luke 8, we have the same occasion. The same parable, our Lord Jesus in verse number 15, giving the explanation. Brother Luke writing, but that on the good ground, Luke 8:15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, that ground's been prepared, it's been tilled up, it's been prepared by someone. In an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. It's not a fleeting thing, as he mentioned about the other types of ground. There's one type of ground that it doesn't even have an effect on. It doesn't really even cross the mind or the heart. That's that first type, the roadway that's there. These others, the stony and the thorny grounds, they have a thing that takes place with them in regards to the word, the message that they hear, but it's we'd find out it's superficial. There's no fruit that's yielded from that. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience, with patience. And that word patience is defined in the scriptures as cheerful, continual endurance, keeping on, keeping on with other things that are related to that. So I ask you to just hang on to that wording there, bring forth fruit with patience. It doesn't tell about the degree of fruit. And in those other passages, we saw 30, 60, 100. You know, there might be 25, and there might be 55, and there might be 97. it's all different in there. But you know what? Everyone does bring forth fruit. That's sown on this good ground, receive the word, an honest and good heart. Those things are similar. This morning, I want to preach a message, bring forth a thought here this morning. What is the yield? What is your yield? What is the yield? Those that plant, and even we, and Brother Bobby's involved with the agricultural system in a great way and working there for the company he does, and they sell in the region and that. And farmers, when they buy seed, gardeners, when they buy seed, they always expect, and they're talking about the yield, aren't they, Brother Bobby? They want that yield. Of course, it's not all conditional on the seed. The seed has got to be good, and there are other things that work into it, the rain and the nutrients and the type of ground that it is and all that. But they're very interested in yield. Our Lord is interested in yield too. In Luke chapter 6, you're close there. Turn over that, if you will, if you have your Bible. I want you to read this for yourself. Just don't hear from me. It's okay to listen to me read it, but it's better if you read it for yourself. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 43, and I intentionally, we're just for the sake of time, we're just dropping in here to the middle of thoughts. We're wanting to extract some principles that our Lord gives here. Our Lord's talking about trees. And in verse number 43 of Luke 6, he says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Trees are trees. The Lord says they're fixed. A peach tree is not going to bring forth apples. A grapevine is not going to bring forth raspberries. And I understand about grafting and such as that, but as they have been created and as they grow, they're known for what they bring. There are fruit that is yielded by trees that the birds would eat, but you and I wouldn't eat. And that food is not for us. It's the provision of the Lord for them. But there are fruits that bring forth, or trees that bring forth fruit for us. Trees have some kind of fruit. And the Lord says, a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt or inappropriate fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Something out here that grows something for the birds that they eat, or the animals of the field or whatever, that you and I wouldn't eat, can't eat in some cases. We would never expect that would ever bear anything ever that we could eat. It's just that way. Verse 44, "For every tree is known by his own fruit." We missed persimmon season this past season again. A guy years ago got a recipe for persimmon cookies from some gals that I work with in Illinois, and they are delicious. But you know, you got to catch persimmons at just the right time, and we missed it. We missed that time. Trees are known by the fruit that they bear. It's just the way that it is. You see it when pears are hanging on a tree, or peaches are hanging on a tree, or apples, or whatever it is, the tree, you know that that tree is that way because of the fruit that it bears. We know that. Every tree is known by his own fruit. "For of thorns men do not gather figs." Closest that you and I get to that, oh, I know a gal that likes to eat figs. I like to eat Fig Newtons. But you don't ever get figs from a thorn bush, thorn tree. It just doesn't happen, does it? "It's known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." It just doesn't happen, does it? "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." And that's talking about a man that's not self-righteous. It's talking about a person that's been saved by the Lord and has the righteousness of Christ, has been changed, has been saved by God Almighty. "Out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." And that's the way it is. Our mouth is connected directly to our hearts. And that is a lot of the fruit that you and I bear, that men, women, children bear. In verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock," on Christ. "But he that heareth and doeth not what Christ has said is like a man that without a foundation built an house." Christ is not a part of it. Christ is not the base and the foundation of it. The house of life is what our Lord is speaking about. is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Because see, without Christ, that's what a man, a woman, a child is going to do, is they're going to build on what they have, on what they know, upon the way of this world and the system of this world. Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, listen, and the ruin of that house was great. The destruction of a soul in hell is a great, great ruinous end. In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord Jesus here also speaking in this same vein. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. We pick it up in verse number 13. And he says here in Matthew 7, verse number 13, enter ye, that's you individually, not you all, but you. Not you all, as we would say, but you enter in. Ye enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus says in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is that straight gate. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You hear that? What's on the good ground bears forth some yield, some greater than others, some lesser than others, but there is a yield. The planting of one seed, consider that. The planting of one seed bringing forth so many, many more. He says here that these false prophets that come in sheep's clothing, they look good. For a while they would sound good. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Trees are known by their fruits. And you know what? People are known by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So there's a consideration here. We understand that about the different types of ground and what our Lord said there. But there is a consideration here for everyone. What is your yield? What is your yield? Corrupt trees will be cut down, and the Lord Jesus himself said they will be cast into the fire. Verse 20, Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So we see here false prophets is the direct indication here in Matthew 7. We've seen where the Lord's talk about different trees that are known by the fruit that they bear. False prophets will be known by the fruit that they bear. And therefore, indeed, we are also known by our fruits, aren't we? What is the yield? What is your yield? I went to a funeral yesterday. And as we sat there, I began to consider what our Lord says in the Scripture about what really matters. And a funeral is a time, really, that I guess that we're pressed the most about that consideration. We have made death, our society, our culture has made death very neat. And I understand the reasons for that. I mean, it's hard, it's difficult. Rewinding 100 years, 150 years, it wasn't as neat as the way it's made now. And because of that neatness of death and the way that it's dealt with and everything, I think that there's a thing there amongst our culture and the people of our land that we just don't consider about us being in the casket, us being the one that has died. And we need to do that. Again, I was considering about what really matters. What does the Lord say about what is of true eternal value? This one that has passed away will never come back this way. Hear that? You and I here are in the way, if you will. I'm not talking about we're blocking one another off. We can be a stumbling block one to another. I'm not talking about that. But in this way of life, we've been born, we're here, we're living, we have our families, our pursuits, we're at different stages of life, or from young to old. And we're walking down this way of life on this earth, on this dirt ball. And we're never coming back here. This is the trip through. We're never coming back. That one lying in the casket will never come back to this place, this way. This one will never come back this way to the life they have lived in this place with this stuff and with the mind of men having been born here. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to live another life here again. We're never going to come back this same. Yesterday's done, and we're never going to do yesterday again. We're never going to do the places where we were in that time ever again. Now, with the things that we have and the thinking that we have naturally, never going to do that again. No one comes back this way. Those that do return, I do want to address this, those that do return, the saints at the millennial reign of Christ, can you think about what our mind is going to be about this place then? We'll not have the same mind. We'll have that heavenly, won't we? It'll all be the Lord and what He has assigned to us, you know? It's good to be sentimental. Sentimentality is good to a point, I believe. I'm less a sentimental person than others. It's just, we're all different. I tell you what, in that day, it won't be sentimentality. It'll be our Lord and His brightness and His goodness. I'm not running sentimentality down. That's not my aim or goal or underlying thing. We are sentimental. And that's not bad if we, just as long as we don't take it and put it in front of the Lord. But when we do come back to this place as the Lord's children, whatever the assignment is, it won't be like it was the first time that we came through. Because we'll have a heavenly heart and mind toward our Lord. You know, all that matters is, all that eternally matters is to be the Lord's tree and to be His branch. You know that? That's really what matters. To be our Lord's tree, to be the Lord's tree, to be His branch, and to bear fruit unto Him. In Mark chapter 4, I come back over here to the Gospel of Mark. What is your yield? Men are very concerned about yield. You and I are concerned about yield. Even in that not fruit or plants or whatever, but most everybody that has a little dab of money is used to having a yield from it in savings or investing or such as that. When we look to buy things, we buy some things for enjoyment, and that is our gain. And other things, we buy things to leverage us and to help us to get other things accomplished so we can ultimately gain. We're always looking for a yield. One way or the other. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 26, our Lord says, "And He said, so is the kingdom of God, as this of a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." See, that one that has planted this seed is looking for that ultimate yield. After that, the full corn in the ear. If we use that example of corn and one kernel has gone down into the ground, there's not an expectation just to get one kernel back. But 2 or 3 years on a stalk, right? And hundreds of kernels back that can serve as seed for the next year or serve for food for ourselves or for livestock or whatever. That's what the Lord's expecting too. The Lord's expectation is no different. Do you understand? I tell you what, this is a blessing to me. Do you understand that the seed sown in our hearts is the Spirit of God? That is the seed that is sown in the hearts of sinners unto salvation, is that Spirit of God and His conviction and working and saving us. You know what He expects? He expects fruit. He expects a yield, doesn't He? And it's all to His honor and His glory. What is the yield? What is your yield? In John chapter 5, our Lord tells us some things very plainly here. And sinner, you that are here without Christ, I tell you, you need the Lord. You need the Lord just like we need the Lord. We are saved. You need the Lord too. Well, to tell you what, your yield is no good. It has no future. It has no blessing. It's not honoring unto the Lord. In John 15, verse number 1, common passage, I've read it a lot here, and I tell you what, it's true. The Lord speaks for Himself. He says here, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. What is it that eternally matters? To be the Lord's tree, to be His branch, and to bear fruit unto Him. Jesus is less than a day from dying. And He's never died before. And you know what He's doing? He's instructing us. I tell you what, that's great care, that's great love. He says, I'm the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. He prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. That glorification of God that Brother Stephen is delving into in that book of Job. Indeed, I believe that it was time our Lord knew what He was doing with our brother as He knows what He's doing with us. And it was time for Job to grow up more in the Lord. Why? That he might glorify the Lord even more. Sometimes that purging, that trimming, it's easy to say. Understand, it's easy for me to declare it. But sometimes at a hard time, that pruning, that purging, that plucking off of the fruit. You know how that branch, when the fruit is just near ripe and you want to get it so the birds don't get it and whatever, and you pull on it and that stem on that branch snaps. And sometimes it'll take and peel the bark back a little bit there. The fruit's got to be gathered in. The limbs, that old growth's got to be cut back for the next season. We never volunteer for it, but I tell you what, we do well to understand that that is the way our Lord works. Look at the fearful thing here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. We're going to see about what happens to that. But those that do bear fruit, His branches, He deals with us. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, abide in me, live in me, and I abiding, living in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We've departed from that of us being, and again, these are parabolistic, they're like parables in this explanation to us, trees. We've left that in this. The Lord is the tree and you and I are those branches. But it's all still the same. the Lord's tree, the Lord's branches, to bear fruit. Because see, what's going to matter when we pass on from this life and our bodies, which we have left, are laying in the coffin, and our soul has gone on to be with our Lord? What's going to matter? You know, yesterday at this funeral, at funerals that you and I have gone to, does it matter how much they had? Does it matter how much they owned? Does it matter how many vehicles they had? Whether it be one or a fleet. Does that matter? Does that matter? As they, as we lay there in the hospital or at home or whatever it is, and that last heartbeat, that last breath, does it matter how full our closets are of clothes? Does it matter for the next moment, from the last heartbeat, the last breath, and going on into eternity? Does it matter what we've accomplished in this life, in that which runs on in this life? And I understand, be a good witness. I understand, be a good steward. Those things are there. There's a balance in that. I understand. But in all that we do, we're to glorify our Lord. But do our awards, our accomplishments, our great projects, our different things that we've done, at that point, does it matter of the things of this earth? Does it matter? And I understand the strait, the what we have to seek the Lord's face in, and achieving the balance of living life. But in that last breath, in that last heartbeat, and going on to the other side, that which is carnal just doesn't go on. Abide in me and I in you, verse number 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye bear fruit, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If you're here and you're not saved, what's your yield? Without the Lord you can't do a thing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, a withered branch, a dry branch, and is withered. And men gather those branches up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Yeah, unrepentant sinners, non-receiving sinners will spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire indeed. The Lord makes that very clear again. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. What's the contra of that? No fruit? No glorification of the Father. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in me in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He's instructing us. He's telling us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. This is not a suggestion from our Lord. This is the way it is. And his trees, his branches, are to bear fruit. And the only way that we can bear fruit is to abide in Christ. And the only way the sinner can abide in Christ is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of the Lord of his soul. Otherwise, it's a corrupt tree. It's a withered branch. And there is no fruit being born for the Lord. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, listen to what our Lord says. And this is so much connected to this. It's directly connected to this. Matthew chapter 6, we pick it up here in verse number 19. Matthew 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Now let's just slow down here and think. How do you do that? How do you and I do that? Jesus has told us to do that. How do we do that? How do you lay up a treasure in heaven? I mean, he's not talking. I don't think he's talking figuratively. I think it's certainly literal. We lay up treasures here for different purposes and different uses and different needs. He said, that's not what life is all about. That's not what the eternal is all about. He says, lay up treasure in heaven where there's no need for insurance. There's no need for anti-rust agents. There's no reason for security systems. And anything laid up in heaven, what do we know about that which is in heaven? Is it not eternal? It is. So how do we lay up treasures in heaven? What is your yield? What is my yield? Our Lord has said, every tree is known by his own fruit. And he said, we will be known by our fruits. What is the fruit of which Jesus speaks? Well, we have a summary of that in Galatians 5. Here is the answer to that, how to lay up treasure in heaven. How is God glorified? By his children bearing fruit. Spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit yielded and brought forth, being born by the child of God, bearing that fruit to the glory of God in living this everyday carnal life. You hear that? We've got to live. We've got a responsibility today and we've got a responsibility tomorrow. It's right for us to work in the different aspects and facets of our lives as the Lord has ordained here on this earth. So how do we lay up treasure in heaven? Well, we do so, the everyday thing of life, all those different activities, going to school, going to work, our home, we do that by the way the Lord says it. And we bear fruit unto that treasure unto heaven. Let's see here in Galatians 5. We pick it up in verse number 13. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We're free. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, the carnal, right? But use that freedom, that liberty in Christ for an occasion to love and serve one another. What did Jesus say? I love you. And I will give my life for you. And no greater love has a man than that, and give your life one for another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. That walking is our life. In the Spirit is that of the Lord that He's put within us, and His Scripture and His Word that He's commanded us. And ye shall not fulfill the desire, the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit within lusteth against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. There's a warfare. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We have the Spirit of God within us. We've been set free to serve our Lord. And by virtue of being saved, we know from the instruction of in His Word how to serve Him and how to walk with Him, how to abide in Him. Here's the corrupt tree and what it bears. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that which is forbidden. We go on into that. Idolatry. Putting anything between us and God. Witchcraft. Drugs. Dope. Dabbling in the spirit world. And the wickedness of Satan. Hatred. Hatred is not laying up treasure in heaven. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Anger with legs on it. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Taking the Word of God and making it say what it doesn't. Envyings, murderers, the killing of one another. Hatred so great that the wrath coming from that would cause one to kill another, even in their heart. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are those branches that the Lord talked about in John 15 that don't abide in Christ, don't bear fruit under the glory of God, and they're cut off and they're burned. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you hear that? The fruit of the Spirit that lives within, that's what it will yield. Love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith in the Lord, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no limit to them. And from the Spirit of the Lord living within us, that is yielded in life. And when we've honored and glorified the Lord in the living of day-to-day life by the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, indeed, brothers and sisters, I believe that that is how we lay up treasure in heaven. A glorification of the Lord, a glorification and praise of Jesus, a witness of the Lord in our lives, a joy that cannot be put down by the affairs of this life. Brother Stephen is bringing out a real thing there that happened with Brother Job, and in that book of Job, life gets very, very difficult and hard sometimes. It will depress us. It will bring us low. But you know what we need in those things? To always look to our Lord. To look to our Lord. And know that we're in His hand. And if we're saved, we have the Lord as our Savior. He saved our souls. He's put His Spirit within. We know we have hope, we have rest, we have peace, we have an eternity with Him. He's glorified in that. Even when it becomes bitter and difficult on the flesh and on this life, we have our Lord. We have everything. And if we manifest Him, if we manifest Him as we deal with these things in life, indeed, we have a yield that glorifies Him. We're trusting. We may not know how it's going to be. We may not know how it's going to go. But we rest and trust in the Lord, and we speak that, and we believe that. We look to Him in that. We bring our complaint. We bring our desire. We bring our fear. We bring our praise, our thanksgiving. We bring it all to Him. And we have a yield. We have a yield that's unto our Lord. You know what? When it comes time for the last breath, when it comes time for the last heartbeat, that in which we've honored our Lord in this life, because of His touch, His salvation, His change upon us, is going to be all that's going to matter. It's going to be all that's going to matter. A witness, a care, connected with our relationships in this life. That's what's going to matter. That's what's going to matter. That's what's going to be remembered. Remember how Jesus said that the Father is glorified in us bearing fruit that remains? It won't be remembered. It won't be remembered for long what vehicles or how many vehicles a person owned. But it will be remembered by those that are yet here on the earth how that person glorified God by being a help to others, or being prayerful for others, or being a comfort for others, telling them, as we do in this day, know the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It'll be remembered how they bore with their conflict and their trial, and how they looked to the Lord. Not how many acres they owned. Not how big the account was. That won't be remembered. Oh, the heirs will enjoy that and such, but as far as what is manifested to the world, it'll be that fruit. And that'll be the treasure that is laid up by the saints of God. But the fruit of the Spirit that's within us, the Spirit of God that lives within us, yields love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And you and I just can't get to the end of those things. There's no law against them. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. All that earlier stuff, all that dead stuff that a dead, corrupt tree brings forth. If we live in the Spirit by salvation, let us walk in the Spirit in this life. Let us not be desirous of that which is vain, the vainglory of this world, and prodding one another, provoking one another, and being jealous one another, as those folks there in Galatia, and as we're subject to be too. What is your yield?